Hello, 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 and welcome to the first episode of Gaming for Dummies podcast. The date is the 23rd of the 10th of some year. I'm Kieran, aka Nikoki.
I'm Sean, known as Deadly Chimp from 1000fraggers.com and from Beth.
Shitting!
Yep, I'm Daniel, aka Zion Knight, with the UKUF.
Yes, Sion is our very special guest star this week.
It's a little bit special.
Yeah, a little bit special.
I don't even know what to say. I'm just gonna plug it as we go along.
Lovely job.
Every sentence will be ended with a "I'm Sion from UKUF." So our topics this week, which may interest you or may not. Probably the latter. Let's start off with a nice simple one, shall we? DLC, guys. Your thoughts?
Sean, I'll let you lead with this one.
I don't see a problem with DLC. I mean, people keep bitching and moaning about it, but...
I think if it can improve a game's life, like for example Borderlands, there was always going to be a limit on how much you could play that game.
And... However... I don't know, because Battlefield 2 had loads of different downloadable content. You know what I mean? And now Bad Company came out of Vietnam, you had to pay for your backup kit as well. You didn't have to, but if you wanted to play those...
Yeah, it helped boost the game. It helped keep it going. I mean, like I say, with Borderlands, if they hadn't brought out that DLC, that game would have died.
Right. Predominantly being a Battlefield gamer, I mean, I don't very rarely, the only other game I really play is Left 4 Dead or others, so it's literally just Battlefield 2 or Bad Company, and will be Battlefield 3.
Yeah, well, I've had some experience with Borderlands. It was gifted to me via Steam, another Steam player. I suppose any game like that, longevity-wise, it's a massive game in itself, and then obviously DLC is always gonna add to it. I'd just like to, put in again, download content. Any download of any game, you know yourself, you've got discs in a box, sitting in a box, they get damaged, scratched, broken. I've pre-ordered Battlefield 3, for instance. I have it already downloaded, installed onto my system. As soon as it goes live, I'm playing it. I'm not standing outside a shop 12 o'clock in the evening, freezing my tits off, all excited, and then walking home, trying, to install and play the game. I'm ready to rock and roll straight away.
Well, it was me, Dan and Barry, known as Pobby on UKUF, were talking about this, and he's got it from Game, Dan, was it?
Yeah, no, it's a huge difference, isn't it, between pre-ordering a physical copy and pre-ordering a digital copy. I think, basically, I'm sat here now and I'm feeling nice and secure, thinking, yeah, I've got it installed on my system, I've already downloaded it, I paid an extra £10, of course, people who are buying it from a shop or any sort of distribution in that sense, £30. I paid £40 basically to get the DLC before 2 months down the line when it comes out for everybody else.
There were major benefits of downloading the game, but as Bobby pointed out the other night, is he's always got it on CD. So I said, well, what happens if you scratch the disc or you break it? He said, well, always have your CD.
I have to put into that things have changed in the sense that now, yeah, you've got your CD key from your physical disc copy, which can now be transferred to your EA account. And, my first instance of that was 2142. I didn't even realize I'd been out, bought the disc, put it in, put my CD code in, that went straight to EA. And now at any time I open Origin, There's a a picture of 2142 download now, even though I've got a physical copy of it.
And with the free, with the Maxicarkin pack, that's going to entice a lot of people.
Yeah, definitely, man.
From BF2, they're going to come back to the game specifically because of that DLC.
Not typically, no, because, I mean, he's been a clan called ENG. I mean, everyone in here knows ENG.
Yeah.
They have massive, still have a massive Battlefield 2 community. And it's like they can't either, number one, be bothered to upgrade a system or can't afford to, or is just stuck on that game, just don't want to move from that game, they're perfectly comfortable doing so. And to be honest, Karkin has got a lot to live up to, and if it's rubbish, mate, people aren't going to play it.
Yeah, people are just going to go straight back to BF2, and that's where DLC falls down. If it doesn't live up to what's been promised, then people just go back to other games.
Yeah, listen, it's one of them, isn't it? Promises. You know yourself until you actually get your feet on the ground and have a mooch and a go of it. A map is only as successful when people are playing on it, kind of thing, and enjoying it. Do you know what I mean? And
yeah, when it's frequently being used.
Yeah, you know, exploiting it. You know, all those things that come with a new map. Or this is an old tried and trusted, you know, kind of arena. We all know what to expect, but what we're looking at is, you know, destructible buildings, shiny lights, things that look cool, and we know the balance of Karkand itself is unparalleled. There's no other map in any other game that's as solid as Karkand, and that's obviously, you know, we're all looking forward to that.
Different people have different perspectives on what maps are their personal favourites. Like, I know people in Battlefield 2, their favourite map was Wake, and they used to play Wake 24/7 servers all the time. Whenever they had, they got in from work. I mean, I used to be the same when I was younger, when it first came out in 2005 it came out, wasn't it? Something like that. And used to get in from work at 2 in the morning, play all the way through the morning until like 7, sleep for a couple of hours, go back on, play a few games, go to work. I mean, my life was either work or playing games, and at the time, Battlefield. I don't think gaming will ever get back to the same as what it was with Battlefield 2.
Yeah, I think you're right in that sense. I think we've been spoiled with Battlefield 2, and since then, nothing has lived up to that.
Agreed.
You know, it's more about, isn't it, the gameplay, the squad structure, the commander. All these things just made such a complete game that you're never ever going to top that. And hopefully, you know, we'll see. Only time will tell if Battlefield 3 can live up to its predecessor.
Yeah, another thing as well, Battlefield 2 is the only game you didn't mind being pissed off with certain things. Like, for instance, getting artillery. I hate commanders. I hate artillery. But then you're like, artillery, deal with it, crack on. There's other things you need to do.
I think that's where I differ from you. I previous military experiences, and you know, you leave the army and you're looking for fun and an experience, a whole complete picture of a battlefield situation. And for me, BF2 has everything that you'd want in having that experience.
I tell you, the sort of DLC I don't agree with at all is where they'll take parts of the game. For example, with BF3, you've got the physical warfare pack. They'll take parts of the game out and sell it on the side just to make a bit of extra money. I do not agree with that kind of DLC.
Yeah. It's got EA slapped all over it, that.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. You know yourself, you know, my experience of this anyway, and this is a new thing for me, because previously everything I ever bought was always on disc. It never, you know, then you're relying on mods and perhaps things like that. Getting back to Battlefield 3, you know, getting a physical copy of a game is fair enough. Having a digital copy, you're never going to falter. It's always going to be there for you. I think it's the future, basically. Things like Steam, obviously Origin coming up and about. this is the way of the future. People can modify things, throw it into the fray, and we can all have it in an instance. I think that taking money off people after you've released the game, you should give it to the public. We should be able to do things with it, change it, mess it around, do what we want, and then we can add it to the medium of Origins or Steams, and they just put it out for us, and everybody's happy. Basically, it should.
Yeah, and with Origin and Steam and that, things of the future, it's going to make DLC a whole lot easier to get a hold of. I mean, yep. If you buy a physical copy, then you have to download it onto the computer and download the DLC afterwards.
Well, the thing is, people are still stuck in a way of, I want to get a CD, because I've always bought CDs, but new things have come out since then. So, I mean, I've always had CDs. The amount of CDs I've got around my house that aren't in the current boxes, may I add, are just stacked up in a pile somewhere. But now, you don't. That's the whole thing. You don't need to worry about it. Oh, it's a disc in the fucking thing. Do you know what I mean? It's literally click and play. You're there. You're done.
Yeah.
Apart from the ridiculous Battlefield 3, where you go into a web browser to boot a game up. That's the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard of, ever.
And we've been talking a lot about BF3, so perhaps we should move on to the BF3 beta.
Well, I just take you back a little ways. I'm going to give you my first experience. I'll say how things changed game-wise, unlocking your game online. My first experience of anything like that was for Half-Life 2. My first experience of Steam, you know, went to Blockbuster, queued up, waited to get my game. And at that time, this is the truth of the matter, I was not online. I wasn't an online player, do you know what I mean? So when I went to the shop to buy this game that I've been excited about getting for like 6 years or something, and I know it's like naughty that I wasn't an online gamer and I wasn't online, didn't know what the internet was, turned up to the shop, went to buy my game, was told, you know, you're not going to be able to play this game unless you're connected to the internet.
I don't like games that do that.
Told me to disappoint me. Do you know what I did? I went home and a friend of mine gave me a copy of Half-Life 2 illegally on a disc, and I thought, well, that's like counterproductive, isn't it?
I agree with that, but the thing is, what other game didn't have a single player?
Yeah.
It turned out to be one of the best games ever made, PC-wise. Oh,
yeah, I agree with that. Yeah. So, moving on to the BF3 beta, we all played it. Thoughts?
Thoroughly good time.
People bitched and moaned about it a lot. Again, it was another thing that really got on my nerves, where on the 1,000 Fraggers on the main feed, I'm going to name names just in case anyone listens to this, who's from Fraggers, basically started moaning about how this is that and how you keep sinking into the ground in places and how hitboxes are all off.
Yeah, but
Sean,
can I just stop you there? One day, it took them half a day for those issues to be posted on the forums, and it was sorted.
I know that. It's just because I agree with the beta coming out. I had no problem with it. It's like there was loads of faults with it, but I wasn't bothered. At the end of the day, they didn't have to release it in the first place, so we were quite lucky to play.
That's the purpose of the beta, though, to discover these bugs.
Exactly. Me and this other bloke had quite a bit of a heated. We had an argument about it. And we still don't see eye to eye now about it. And it's the beta. There's gonna be problems with it. If you don't like a game where it's got problems with it, don't download a beta of all things.
Do you know what, Sean? What gave me confidence in it all was that the issues that were brought about on their forums were dealt with so quickly.
Yeah.
And I thought that was, you know, that gives me confidence in when the game's released. We all know it's going to have problems. Of course it is. It's a PC game or, you know, cross-platform, whatever. It's going to have its issues. Ultimately, everybody, every single person who has any sort of console, PC, whatever, is going to be playing this game. And ultimately, what I think is that they're doing a good job. They've done a good job so far.
Certainly have. Like for instance, because I have heard nothing about Modern Warfare 3, about any sort of betas for Modern Warfare 3 at all. And I had this bloke at work come up to me, one of my mates. He said, "So Sean, what are you most looking forward to? Battlefield 3 or Modern Warfare?" And I said, "You go and watch some Battlefield 3 trailers, and then you come back to me and then ask me the same question." So he came back to me 15 minutes later and just nodded. He didn't say a word. You can tell which one's definitely going to be the best game.
Yeah, it's a no-brainer, isn't it? I followed Call of Duty right from the get-go because, like I said to you earlier, I wasn't online for a very long time when I started out in the PC kind of genre area. Went from, you know, Super Nintendo's, PS1, I've never experienced the Xbox. But yeah, following the COD series all the way through and then getting to, excuse me, Black Ops, and then thinking, you know, the trouble I had even installing it on my system, even now when you asked me to do a video for it, and I couldn't, my machine just wouldn't allow it to be installed on my system, and that, you know, it's like, that's a huge game with a huge franchise, and it's making, extortionate amount of money, and yet it's so unstable, and it's, you know, no wonder it gets a bit of grief.
Well, that and they're continuously using the same engine for ages as well.
And the same sort of storyline, same game mechanics.
Yeah, you feel like you're being ripped off. How dare they? You know, look at, you know, the big deal of BF3, a new engine, and all singing, all dancing, you know,
modern
flashing lights. And it's like, well, how dare you sell us the same product three times over? Why don't you just make an add-on and sell it us for half the price?
Yeah, I agree with that.
It's like Modern Warfare 3 has been described as another Modern Warfare 2. They've just put it out with a different storyline, and when you look on Steam at the price of Modern Warfare 2, a game that's been out, 2 years? It's still £35.
Is it?
Yeah, I think it's £35. £30. And it's been out 2 years. And I do not agree with that at all.
You know what? Save yourself the trouble. Go straight to Steam. You can download Battlefield 2, Special Forces, what is it, Euro Forces. What's the other one? There's one more, I think. But with all the add-ons that you can get, with like Sandbox and AIX and things like that, and it's £14.
Looking at the original Modern Warfare here on Steam, and it's still £20. And BF3, from what we've seen in the beta, it's, £25, I think, is the cheapest you can get it. And it's already surpassed everyone's expectations.
Yes, totally agreed.
Admittedly, there was bugs, and I reckon they should have put on the Caspian Border servers, as they should have put the map on all servers.
Why? No, I don't agree with that, because why? I mean, because I hate Rush personally, but I still loved playing Metro.
Yeah, I liked Metro.
Even though it was really samey, it was getting a bit irritating.
Yeah, of course it's same, Sean, but you're playing the same, map over and over again because it's a beta, but my gosh, you want to play that map. It's Battlefield 3, and you want to experience, you want to see every, you know, spark of dust from a bullet landing in front of you. You want to see every explosion. You want to experience everything. You want to blow things up just for the hell of blowing them up.
Yeah.
Experience it, do you know what I mean?
Well, the way
I experienced a lot of moments with a lot of other players, and they were all moaning about the repetitiveness, and I was just sat there thinking, I am loving every moment of this. I'm experienced, and this is me on a low-end PC. I saw it in a different way that everybody else was seeing it, and I still fully enjoyed myself. I played better than I've played any other FPS game that I've ever played before online. I've never played like I played in that beta. I was raping everyone. I've read that they're going to vastly reduce the hit points that the UMP 45 can do. And
yeah, like, oh, the UMP is pretty nuts, though, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm not winning anymore.
That gun was, as soon as I unlocked it, I thought, right, using this gun on every class, KD rising and rising, and this is good.
That's a whole new... That is a whole new experience for me. I've never had a KD ratio where I'm plus. I'm always in a kind of
bonus.
I just run in and get killed, basically. But I always, you know, for me, especially online gaming in itself is all about the social side of things, the friends I've made, camaraderie, playing in the team, working for each other. That's what it's always been about for me. I don't think for 1 minute that I'm an above average or even an average player for that matter.
Well, I mean, Dan knows as well as it's basically me and Dan whenever we're playing. Dan's always said no matter whatever game we're on, whatever server we're on, me and him always stick together. I don't know, it's just a bit weird. We always cover each other's backs in any sort of game that we play. Yeah, even Left 4 Dead's the same.
Yeah, you don't have to say it. We know what each other's doing. But that experience, that's the online. This is what I was saying about the social side of things. Meeting new people, you know, making new friends. And the way we play together, we know what each other's going to do.
That's right.
That's what we do.
Go on, mate.
Well, without online gaming... I'd just like to point out, this podcast wouldn't be happening.
No, that's true.
Because I would have never.
Exactly. Sure. This is what we were born to do. This is this. You know.
What podcast or online gaming?
Well, no,
online
gaming. We were both. Born to talk. Where we were born to communicate.
You were born to talk.
Yeah, apparently some of these vodkas are good.
Right, what I was trying to say, I mean, with Operation Metro, when it came out, a lot of people were bitching and moaning that it was repetitive, which, don't get me wrong, it was, because it was the same map you're playing over and over and over again.
But people said
that Caspian Border needs to be released more. No, he didn't. That was perfect how they did that. Purely because you're not going to release the better maps in a beta. It doesn't happen. You're not going to do it. Here you go, here's Karkand throughout the whole 2 weeks of the beta. Enjoy it. Then what are you going to do? Play Karkand, brilliant.
What really surprised me is near the end, somehow, I'm not quite sure of all the details, but the server files were leaked or something like that, and all these Caspian Border servers and 128 player Metro servers were popping up, and I don't know.
They were being hacked, and...
The ability to play Caspian Border without having to queue up for an hour was... Nice. It was a nice big conquest map that was... You could guarantee every round you'd be doing something different. I mean, I had a few rounds where I was just waiting for the jets. Who doesn't do that?
Yeah, I don't, because I fucking hate jets.
but on Metro, to me, it seemed it was the same thing over and over, and after a while, you just lost the will to play.
I'm a big Noob Tube fan. Oh, not Noob Tube. I like Battlefield with Bad Company 2. I'd use a lot of the good stuff. And I love the blast ratio on...
blast radius.
On the rocket launches. There was four blokes standing around an MCOM station. I fired a rocket at it, and it even killed people a few metres behind it. Great.
Sorry, I was just going to say, talking about... going back to DLC before and Bad Company 2, Vietnam. What's the crack where, you know, they've released the game, they've released Bad Company 2, and we're playing Bad Company 2 and we're all loving it, and then, you know, all of a sudden, Battlefield Bad Company 2 Vietnam comes out, and then you purchase it, and all you have to do is put a code into your machine. And all of a sudden, it's on your machine. It's not. I didn't have to download anything. So what's the crack there? Is it pre-coded into the game?
No.
Are we being ripped off here, or what?
What happened there was when they released the Map Pack 7 with Operation Harvest and heavy metal.
That massive download.
They added in the files for Vietnam. If you'd noticed back then, you could switch to the Vietnam tab. Basically, all you were paying there.
Just
was...
like to make it, make you aware as well. Also, give you a better picture of my look on things. As I boycotted by the company too for a very, very long time because I was a Battlefield 2 snob. So basically, I've only been playing BC2 for maybe the last 12 months or so. So everything is very, very new to me in that sense. I'd never seen a destructible building before. It was a huge revelation to me, and I kicked myself for not playing the game from its beginning.
Dan, you'll be lying now if you're telling me that game is not boring now.
Oh, don't get me wrong, Sean. I think since I've played Battlefield 3 beta, I can't play Bad Company anymore. I can't be. I'm playing stupid ping pong games on Facebook rather than playing Bad Company. That's what BF3 has done to me.
What, it's turned you into a retard? Brilliant.
Dude, you know full well I've always been a damned retard.
Disclaimer, nothing against people.
Damn you, BF3, you've made me play silly Facebook games.
Well,
the day before
Mafia
BF3, I played BC2. BF3 beta came out. Oh, this is quite good. The day after BF3 beta, it was just
all
right. Play some BC2. No, I really can't be bothered.
I had experience. I got an invite to the alpha. Play the alpha. I'm running a dual 8800 GTs. I've only got a Q6600 2.4, 4 gig of RAM. And I'm playing Battlefield 3, and it's so smooth. My experience of it was, I really did think, there's no way I'm going to be able to play this, and I'm going to get upset because all my friends are playing it. They've all got better PCs than me. Boo hoo hoo. Yeah. And when I played that beta, and it's meant to be laggy and buggy and all the rest of it anyway, I had such a smooth experience. My machine did its trick. I'm very proud of it. But of course, I'm not getting all singing or dancing graphics.
Very basic.
But nonetheless, though, Sean, what I'm happy about is the fact that I can still come and play with you. Do you know what I mean?
You can always play with me, Dan.
Oh, God. Change that.
Don't be like that.
I think we were all really impressed by the BF3 beta. Admittedly, there was bugs, but that's the purpose of a beta.
Yes.
And when I first started playing it on the early access day, and the servers were reasonably quiet, I say reasonably because they weren't, I'm completely lying there, but for the first few days, I noticed no bugs. I mean, to me, it was just like the alpha had been improved minorly. You guys know what I'm talking about when I say the Operation Metro.
Am I right in saying, I don't suppose you happened to get a go over an APC when you're in the alpha?
In the alpha, I had a quick go in there, and then it just made Operation Metro too unbalanced. One team had a giant tank.
I don't think so, because I think, definitely with Metro, when you're defending, I think if you're doing it right, and everyone's playing together, thinking together, then you can defend and no one's getting near you. You put an APC into that mix and it changes everything. But then once you've took those first two AMCOM stations, the APC becomes obsolete. So it's like, it's like a quick push them off the first A and B and let's get them into the subway.
Yeah, but it's not like those two AMCOMs on Metro is achievable because people are still making their way all the way through to the end.
Yeah, of course.
I don't know. I think the people that couldn't get past the first two incomes.
Yeah, look, it's one of them, isn't it? At the end of the day, I don't know Nokoki's fucking experience on this, but my thought on any kind of game like that is it's infantry all the way, boots on the ground. They're the ones that get the jobs done at the end of the day. But if you've got a big APC behind you, smashing everyone. You know, it can't do any harm, can it?
Maybe
to them, but you know, who doesn't mind having some big 50 cal rounds tracers flying over your shoulder and you're watching some poor bleeding, you know, getting given the good news.
Well, your point couldn't have been more proved with the old boots on the ground thing than in Caspian Border. If everyone had been flying around in jets and helos, the game would have never ended. Because none of the points would have been taken.
I got myself up in the air a few times. My previous experiences with any sort of flying thing was being in the second seat of a bomber in Battlefield 2, and to be in the flying seat kind of thing, and to, I don't know, I found myself watching the scenery more than I should have been, kind of like shooting things.
You took a picture along the way.
I was having a jolly. I'm telling you now, if my aeroplane had had four wheels and maybe a little, you know, some space in the back to fit a tent in, I would have been Campabago, baby.
Campabago.
Admittedly, I flew the jets in BF2, hence. Yeah, they were fun to fly. I didn't like how you had to use the mouse to tilt and that. But I got in a jet for the first time in BF3, and I just thought, wow, I am impressed by this. This is like playing Hawks or Ace Combat or something like that.
Yeah. It's always been like a nose and end thing. You're either a fly guy or your boots on the ground. Yeah, running around like a little loony. And I found myself sitting in that cockpit and taking off and thinking, do you know what? I could learn how to do this. I don't feel like this is something that is alien to me and it's something I'm never going to get to grips with. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, that was something I liked about the BF3 beta. It was very easy to pick up. I mean, some games, I think, what's it called? Red Orchestra or so? I've heard reviews of that where the main problem they had with it is if you were a Battlefield player or a Call of Duty player or something, and you went across the Red Orchestra, it was completely alien. You didn't know what you were doing, why you were doing it, or who that guy's mum was.
Right,
I'll do that. You always thought I knew them.
So,
my girlfriend's eating Frazzles.
Frazzles?
Yeah.
Frazzles.
Before we start talking about confectionaries, because we could do a whole podcast on that.
We will do a whole
podcast on confectionary items.
I'm sorry, I have to correct you there. It's not a. It's a savoury.
Oh, screw off!
You dick.
Right.
It's a savoury.
Actually, it's moustache.
Moustache.
Moving on, something completely different.
Off we go.
Go on.
Achievements. It's the standard thing in games these days. If you buy a game from Steam, it's got Steam achievements. If you buy it on the Xbox, it's got Xbox achievements. And so on and so forth. But then you get people out there who don't enjoy the game because they're just sitting there. Oh, what's my next achievement? What do I have to do to get this?
Some people have to do that. Some people prefer a game to do that, and I've got nothing against them. To be honest, there's nothing that I love more than bashing an RPG against a face, going straight into battle, don't care how many times I die, usually not bragging, usually above KDR.
That's because you're a CG bloody noob.
He had this argument last night.
The funny thing is, right, now, I would say I am maybe an average or just below average player. Now, I've been watching Mr. Deadly Chim play his games, and I thought, you know what, I'm going to try that. I'm going to go an engineer. I've never been an engineer before. I've always been a medic or a salt. I thought, right, I'm going to try this. And my my kill death ratio went stupid because I started using the cargo stuff. It's naughty. It's wrong. It's not right. You shouldn't be able to take a group of people out with one shot.
It's great though. It really is good.
And saying that, you're on your server, you're having fun, you know, you're killing people and you're giggling to yourself, and you get these hate messages and stuff. Well, I'm sorry, but why did they put that weapon in that game?
That itself.
It's there to be used. If it's a weapon in the game should be able to use it. Damn you! And if you don't like it, well, I'm sorry, you just got owned again.
Getting those hate messages is an achievement in itself. Yeah. And admittedly, I've got no problem with adding achievements in. I mean, it gives people a reason to play the game, I suppose.
Yes, yes.
But when you...
I have to agree with you. I'm sorry to cut you off there. I just have to say, I play games for achievements, and that's the truth of the matter. And I also have to say, because of my playing level, I don't think I'm very special on any idea, but when I go to look at me achievements and me unlocks and me badges and medals and things, and I think, right, I need to do this to get that, and I'll go into the game and it'll just be, I'll just play even worse. I find that when I'm trying to do something, I'm terrible, and when I just play and they come naturally, you just all of a sudden this gorgeous, beautiful, you know, spangly thing pops up in front of your face. You've just achieved that, and it's like, well, how did I do that? Don't even know.
And it gives you a good feeling.
You're just playing, and you're just having fun, and that's the whole point of the matter, I think.
I especially like games like Team Fortress 2, where it rewards you for achievements. Like, for example, if you get one achievement in, like, Pyro class or something, it will give you a weapon.
Yes, but it should be rewarded. That's the thing, isn't it? You should be rewarded for doing well. But in the same breath, it's one of them, you know yourself, you start a new game, you're starting off with less abilities than everybody else, but does that teach you to be faster, stronger, harder? Do you know?
Faster, stronger.
Yeah, you've got to achieve better to get up there with everybody else.
We're now Daft Punk's favourite people.
I'll be brutally honest with you, I love getting me shinies, and I feel proud when I've achieved, you know, I'm happy to get a 7 kill streak. That's me. I'm like, oh, I'm happy to get a 2 kill streak. Give me a badge for a 2 kill streak. Thank you very much.
You know what, well, the achievement that I've done, got the only two weapons I really use, all the time scope and DG. You had a look at my stats.
Yeah, yeah.
I had 2,400. I had 2,100 kills.
I both of my game scores. I play with players that are rank 50, and they've put 700 hours in. I'm rank 32. And I've put 160 hours in. So that's got, I guess, I should have more belief in myself at the end of the day, because if I'd put 600 hours in, I'm pretty sure I'd be, you know, past rank 50.
And achievements like that are all well and good, but when you get people who are just, they're saying a game, oh, it's crud, the storyline's crud, because they've just been going through it, getting the achievements. They haven't been focusing on the storyline or...
Yeah.
Do
you know what? Is it not... What are we doing every night when we come home, or, you know, come home from work or whatever you've done? It's a sense of escapism. You're sitting there. I don't know about yourselves, but my thing is, I'm there, and I am the sniper. I am the medic if someone's hurt. I am going to run over through artillery and to their detriment, you know. don't revive me. Well, I'm sorry, but I want the points, baby. Don't remind me, he's still shooting at us. Yeah, I know he's still shooting at us. He's shooting at you, he's not shooting at me.
Achievement pops up on the screen. Noob revive. Yeah. And you just sit there with a smug look on your face going, yeah, I got that achievement.
Loads of times you've had to go at Dan for doing that to me. Dan, there's no point. I can't get up. And he's just carrying on fucking doing it like I love it.
I'm telling you, it's since me BF, honestly, my BF2 days, I got, like, they thought I could, like, it wasn't natural, the things I could do. Honestly, I could run through a load of artillery and not get a scratch, and someone sat in the middle of the artillery and I'll revive them. run
they
away.
Get ruined again.
Yeah, they'll get ruined again.
There should have been an achievement in BF3, because after a while we noticed that you could team kill people and it didn't give you any minus points. So I said there should be an achievement.
You know, something out of nothing. What rank achievement did you make in BF3 during the beta?
About 14.
Yeah, like 16, 18, I think.
Yeah, I was saying to you before that my achievements in BC2, rank 32, and I'm so proud of that. So very, very proud of that. And then in short 14 days or so on BF3 beta, and I got to rank 34. And it's wow, how have I, you know, how has that happened? I was playing like a madman.
No, I think that the achievements are extreme. Yeah, that will, I reckon that will change.
Yeah, of course, yeah. I've seen posts about it on the forums, the balance in it. Like I said before, the UMP45, once I unlocked that weapon, I was raping so hard that, like, people were coming to me saying, are you my dad? Because I've done them.
Disclaimer, Dan wasn't actually raping people. We hope.
Yeah, it's got, you know, it's gonna be good fun. Let's have it right. We're all up for it. We're all waiting for it. Every, you know, we're doing this podcast now. We had topics we'd like to talk about, and every single thing has gone back to Battlefield 3. Battlefield 3.
Well, that's the way it's going to be for a long time, hopefully.
Until BF3 has been out for a few months, every episode of this podcast is going to be, right, here's the topic, Battlefield 3.
I'm 36 years old. Things like Star Trek, and I was around for the first edition of Star Wars. Things like this that I'm seeing now are the things that I fantasized about when I was a little tiny boy. And I'm actually privileged to be around and to experience things that were like dreams. Do you know what I mean? It's just unbelievable. And abruptly the sound ceased.
Wow. Silence for the first time.
Yeah, do you know, because my statement was so freaking awesome.
I'm just reading up on this this EA email I had a couple of days ago. I'd like me to share it with you all.
Yeah, go on.
Right. Basically what happened was I got Medal of Honor. Medal of Honor, where you get the limited edition beta invitation.
There's been a lot of controversy over this issue, hasn't there?
Yeah, well, this one, anyway, I didn't get it, so I went to the, I mean, to be honest, the EA support's brilliant, because I don't know anyone else, any other, like Activision, don't know any of them, that do the same thing, where you actually go and talk to an advisor and they try and help you. So it's good in that respect. However, these people that I talked to, I mean, on most occasions they've been all right, because I've talked to them a few times, but on the last couple of occasions it's been absolutely terrible. Anyway, Battlefield 3 beta, blah, blah. Anyway, the other, it was about 2 weeks ago, I received an email from EA saying, sorry about your bad experience with EA. Here's a code. Choose any game that we have in our library. So I chose Iberian Wars. Installed it, quite looking forward to playing it, so I'm sick and tired of Bad Company 2. And then I'm going to go and play it. Answer my email and my password for Origin. Typed it in. And it said, not recognised. Well, so that's rubbish, because I'm in Origin at the minute, and it works. I know it works. I talked to the support guy. I got to end with quite a lengthy conversation. I just went AFK for about 15 minutes. I had no choice but to disconnect. I started getting a bit shirty with the other advisor that I spoke to after, saying basically the advisor had been non-responsive about 15 minutes. Tiberian Wars was supposed to be an apology for me not getting my beta when I bought Medal of Honor, and that doesn't work either. And just reading right at the bottom.
How does that make you feel about EA, Sean?
It's fucking irritating, mate. It really got on my nerves.
The problem with customer service.
Sorry, yeah, customer service wise, do you know what I think? And this is the truth of the matter. Do you know what? EA, they're just a publisher. I know, like, granted, they have got the industry by the balls. What the balls? They've got the industry by the balls.
Balls.
Yeah. Now, I think, you know, Sean, they could quite easily have said to you, well, do you know what? You've bought the game. We didn't make the game. Suck my balls.
Yeah, they haven't. It's the complete opposite of what they've done. They said, if you need a hand, talk to us and we'll be able to get you sorted. So I've basically put in the transcripts, where is it?
I'm sorry, I just have to stop you there. I'm terrible because my experiences with EA, whenever I've had a problem and I've spoke to them directly, it's been dealt with instantly at that point. I can't complain about them. I really can't.
I'm not saying that though.
And of course,
all the other experiences I've had have been perfect apart from this one.
Yeah, Sean, but all those little shithouses, the consumer who just takes and takes and takes, and we expect to be given the world, when in actual fact, the point of the matter is, you've just paid 30 quid for a piece of tinfoil and plastic, and once you've passed that money over, they actually don't have to give a bloody toss about you anymore. It's the who made the game? Get your patches out, make the game right, get it running properly. Do you know what I mean? And going back to before, download content, then get your add-ons out. Get them running smoothly. And again, everyone, if things go, people only play on games that work, basically.
However, why offer technical support? But like, for instance, why offer me a free game, right? So it's entirely their decision to do both of those things.
I was there with you when you were going through all this. So this issue has still not been resolved.
No. It's been about 2.5 weeks.
Just to get people in the picture, basically, Deadly Shin, aka Sean, raised some issues with EA about a game he was having trouble with. They gifted him a code for a new game, and when he tried to put that code in, you know, it failed, and every time he went back to them for support or help or any answers.
It wasn't the code that failed. You type the code in, I downloaded the entire game, so the entire game is on my rig. I've got it on my rig. But every time I try and log on to it, it won't do it. This is the thing that the customer service guy had trouble with. And I just said to him, no, you need to read what I'm typing now. Seriously, you need to concentrate. I have it installed. It is in Origin. I'm ready to play it. But I can't log into it. It refuses to accept my Origin details.
Does it make you wonder, Sean, that you're talking to an EA bot?
No, because they do have some sort of concern about it. But the thing is, that they were just fecking off for about 5 minutes, not saying anything. The amount of times, hello, we're still connected. Are you there? Hello, any there? I apologise for the delay in response 5 minutes later.
Well, like I say, I can... I can only go from my own experiences with EA, and every time I've been satisfactory is the right word? You know, I've been very happy with it.
Well, I've had a couple problems with EA.
Sorry, Nick O'Keefe, just to cut you off there. So what was EA's response, Sean?
Well, basically, me and this advisor end up having quite a bit of a ding-dong about it, and I've basically said, if we'd have purchased this order, it would have been fine. However, this game is an apology for previous complaints that I've made in the past. Also, the other advisor ignored me and said I disconnected. They said, I sincerely regret any inconvenience caused to this issue, and for some reason, full stop, then a number three at the end. Not sure what about. I've been on EA Tech support with two different advisors, genuinely, not over-exaggerating, an hour and a half I was with them, right? Like talking to two different sorts of advisors. So I've escalated your issue with senior support. I said, great, when will I get a reply? It said 48 hours, and I thought, that's a bit rubbish, but 48 hours, at least someone with some sort of responsibility to get back in touch with me. It's been 2 weeks. Nothing. I received an email, actually, the other day, saying, EA customer support survey. Click here to take this survey.
Quite clearly, you are registered with the EA forums.
Yeah.
And... You must have been given an email from EA of the transcript of that conversation.
I've got it here. Yeah.
Honestly, I'd post it on their forums. It's one of them, isn't it? It's hard. You want to get straight to the point and get your punch across to someone that can actually deal with your problem and resolve it. But what can you do? It's one of them, isn't it? It's always the little people and the big people.
Well, I've always said that, I mean, EA technical support has been nothing like it from any other company. So I am very grateful for it, because I mean, like I said, I mean, a lot of other companies don't even offer anything along the same lines of it, so it's great. However, don't employ idiots. That's all it comes down to, mainly. There was the whole problem with both of these transcripts was the advisor didn't read what I was typing.
Listen. You work for a very, very reputable, massive company in this country. You know yourself how customer services work, after product, looking after yous and all that kind of stuff. Do you know what I mean? So, you know, your opinion is actually, I think, would be quite valid.
The only problem I've ever had with EA is a few days before the pre-access, and yes, we're coming back to Battlefield 3 again here.
Again.
Before the pre-access to BF3, I just wanted to check that I was going to get my early access code. So I went on to the EA Live Support, and I said to them, you know, I've got two accounts, which one is my Medal of Honor registered with? He was very helpful. He said, I'll just check for you. Alright, it's registered with this account. I said, okay, are you sure about that? He said, yeah. So I said to him, am I going to get an email for my early access? And he said, yes, I can confirm that you are going to get an early access email for the Battlefield 3 beta. I said, thank you, disconnected. Early access went by, open beta starts, still no email. And that really annoyed me, the fact that he'd promised that I was going to get that email. And admittedly, I might be underage for the game. They may have not sent it to me because of that reason. But an email explaining that would have been nice, considering one of their support had told me.
We should be treated with some level of respect, kind of thing. I was just going to say to them, when the Battlefield beta came out, or was coming out, I had my Hotmail email account hacked. I pre-ordered the game. I was very worried about what was going to happen. Apparently my email account was sending out spam emails to all of my friends. I'd got in touch with EA via, you know, the live, you know, chit-chatty thing.
Yeah.
And again, this is why I've never got a no complaint about them. I'd basically said to them, my email account's been hacked. Is it possible for me to change my, you know, your fundamental email account, which is everything to do with EA Origin, you know, every EA game, it's all to your one email account. And I was devastated. I thought, this is it. I've, you know, my girlfriend's bought Battlefield 3 for me as a gift, that's going to get lost because I can't, you know, get into my email account anymore. So I was speaking to AI and they were like, oh, it's fine. This was at the time when the BF3 beta had just gone live. They were like, can you come back to us in half a day, 8 hours, and we'll have these issues sorted for you. And I thought to myself, no chance. There's no bloody way. Went back to chat to them, and it was all done, sorted. Happy days.
I mean, with the beta, when they did that with me, it got done extremely quick because I was talking to this lady, and she said, she was obviously not saying, she was typing, and said, right, do us a favour, give us your ID and all your login details, not your passwords, obviously, but your email addresses and stuff. And, well, there you go, blah, blah. And then she said, I'm going to take you 5 minutes, give me 5 minutes. So I did. And she came back 5 minutes later and went, can you log out of Origin, log back in again? And there it was. It was just there. The beta was there.
Yeah, that's the thing. They can deal with it. They can do it. They can do it there and then at the touch of a few buttons. Do you know what I mean? I do think, you know, they are just the publisher, and I think they have to deal with the game's shortcomings. At the end of the day, they are the first line in people's complaints. They have to deal with us.
That's the thing, though. I mean, you're probably one of the biggest publishers in the world, EA.
Not probably one of. They are the one.
Why offer support? Because they've offered support. That's why they've set up all these forums. That's why they've got EA chat. Why? The thing is, if they had a problem with dealing with our complaints, they wouldn't have done that. You know what I mean? If they would have gone, just talk to DICE about it. We're not interested.
Well, yeah, I'll tell you what then. I'll give you an instance of my experience when I had my email account hacked. This is with Hotmail. Microsoft, the biggest thing apart from Google, they're running the Tinter web. I had to make a new email account to submit my questions about my previous email account. Then we, you know, because the actual how can I put this into words, you know, when you're submitting your information into the screens, because I made one mistake, I had to wait 24 hours to be able to resubmit the same information. They were asking me questions about folders in my email account, previous 3 emails that I'd sent. Questions that, like, you're like, wow, how can I remember those things? You know,
it's not long ago. If you're anything like me, I've had my email address for 12 years.
Yeah, I have exactly, Sean. Yeah, 15-year email account, and I'm like, how can I give you those answers? It's just you use your email account, you send your emails, you don't think about them. You don't think, oh well, yesterday I sent an email to Charlie Brown because he is so awesome selling heroin. Oh. Yeah, selling. He's like, I wanted some heroin on the streets of Compton. I sent an email to Charlie Brown and I remembered that email and I'm going to submit that into that form. You know, I was truthfully very, very disturbed by it. I was very scared. I thought 15 years of emails. Every single game that's been registered is to that email address. What am I going to do? And luckily, you know, patience, 4 or 5 days later, everything was resolved. But nonetheless, the rigmarole, the upset and the, you know, it was very, very, very unpleasant.
And so that,
isn't it? And that's bad. Now, you know yourself, you have a beef with an EA game. It's not, you know, a dice game. It's an EA game. Once the publisher gets a grip of it, you've have any beef, you can have a little gander and a little natter with someone directly to EA that makes you think, I'm getting somewhere here. Whereas my problems with Hotmail and was bad, really, really bad experience.
But now it's all sorted, though, isn't
Luckily. Yeah, but it took days. It took days and days and days, whereas it should have only took 24 hours verifying. Oh, the questions they asked me, Sean, were just ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous.
I think that's about time, isn't it, Nico?
Yeah, it's been a good first podcast, actually. A lot
Sure.
of BF3 content.
If you'd like to
So.
meet my mum, it's www.dansmum.com.
And if you want to go onto a decent social networking site, go to 1000fraggers.com.
Yeah, 1000fraggers.com. Check us out, please. And
Also,
if.
join us on TeamSpeak. Just type in 1000fraggers.com into the connect, the address bar. Have a
Of
network
course,
and have a
we
game there.
are closely affiliated. Newswithus.com. Off we go.
Yep. If you're looking for a good BF3, BC2, BF2 clan, check out noobsrus.co.uk. And if you aren't aware of the website, it's gamingfordummies.blogspot.com. Yes, I'm so poor I had to make a Blogspot website.
That'll be changed soon.
Yeah.
He can
And
afford £10 a year.
if you have Facebook, look us up on Facebook and like us. Every like, we might mention you in a podcast, should
And
you
yeah, every
post
like
it on.
on, I grow an extra pube.
He's not even joking, folks.
I'd just like to say thanks to Nick for inviting me and Sean to join.
Well, let's face it, me sitting here for an hour talking to myself would have made people think I was crazy.
It would have been reasonably entertaining, though, to be honest.
Yeah, I'd just like to thank you guys for helping me out with this one, and Chimpy will be joining me next week. He has no choice in the matter.
Happy
Hang on a
days.
minute. Hang on a
But.
minute. What are you trying to say? That I came dressed in my Speedos and my Vaseline. I thought this was like a themed get dressed up and have a chat about shite.
Well, we might invite you back next week then, Dan. If
He's a
you're
good
really
boy this
good.
time round, isn't
If you're really good and ask us really nicely
Do
and
you
attract
like
some people to the
Facebook
Facebook page.
page?
Yeah, I don't give a toss about Facebook, and what I'm going to know about is, do you like Frazzles?
I love
No,
Frazzles.
never tried them.
Never
You've
tried
never tried? Oh,
Frazzles!
Nick, bloody
Oh
hell!
God, before we go on to
Oh
this, then we better end.
no, let's forget about Apple. You've never tried Frazzles.
So, thank you very much for listening. Tune in next week, where we will be sitting here talking about Frazzles, Walker's Crisps, and, if you're lucky, a bit of Quaver action.
How about nuts?
And
You've been listening
listening
to
to
just to
Gaming for
finish
Dummies
off,
podcast.
don't listen to Nick.
No.
Bullshit. I have my lovely lady friend to say bingos. Frazzles. Nice.
It's
Charming.
All right, listen to us all.
You've
Anyway,
been
gents,
listening
we'll
to
see you on the
Gaming for
battlefield.
Dummies. See you
Good luck,
later.
boys.
And goodbye.